Okay, well, the music isn't working tonight. And this is Chris Gerner with American Exposé. Problems like this happen, and certainly we have situations in our country that are increasing in maneuvering and directing and orchestrations of situations. President Bush was out doing his thing today, and that's kind of amazing. He was speaking the right things. Lindsey Williams, are you with me?
Good evening, Chris, and thank you so much for letting me be on your program tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, very important. We're going to pick it up where we left off in the Middle East, but President Bush, after all these years, has talked about tapping into Alaska finally. What is the deal with this thought pattern, in your opinion? Were you listening?
Yes, I heard some of what he was saying today. He wants to tap into the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, ANWR. There's really no need to do that.
Uh-huh.
It's only a stalling tactic because he knows that by the time they drill in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge and by the time they get the flow line pipes over to bring the oil down the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline route, that it would take somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 6 years minimum before one drop of oil can arrive there. So the whole thing is somewhat of a delay tactic and really has no meaning whatsoever. It will not solve any of our problems right now. And everything in the energy bill that was passed, signed by the president, it's only going to increase the price of gasoline at the gas pump. There's nothing there that will help the price of gasoline to the farmer this spring when they start to plant and help the American out of the problem they have.
So, in your opinion, this is something to give the American people encouragement to stop getting upset
about the high price of gasoline? Yeah, I would say that it's a method of blinding their eyes just a little bit further to make them think they have something when, in fact, they have nothing.
I see. Well, Dennis, one of the webmasters, Dennis and Darren, do the website. They have Bush lays out energy plan as prices soar. Incredible information here. Russia proves peak oil is a misleading Zionist scam, he says. Then he has something about sustainable oil. Peak oil scam unravels. Oil reserves increasing. Beware of peak oil agenda. Lots of information on the website. I'm sorry you're not there to see it. As we were talking last night, we were in the Middle East with the bases in Iraq being set up. We have Costco ports, China Ocean Shipping Company ports, surrounding this country. We have them in control of the Panama Canal. We have this situation where we have major products purchased in China. We have sea crate containers coming from China. We're barely even 2% or even inspected. And yet we're in the Middle East. China and Iran and Russia are allied, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Let me go back to peak oil for just a moment. You've covered many, many subjects here all at once. One of them let me go back to for a moment, and this is the subject of peak oil. In the website that you just mentioned, the Soviet Union says peak oil is not for real, that it's just a fantasy. That is correct. There is no such thing as peak oil. It's just buzzwords that they're using to cause the American people to think that the way that they want them to think. There is no shortage of oil. The governor of Alaska said 2 weeks ago there is potentially enough oil in Alaska to last America for 200 years. He's exactly right. I described that in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, in the chapter entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. This peak oil thing is a total misnomer. It has no meaning whatsoever. It is total false. We are not running out of oil whatsoever. The world is discovering more oil by the day. And let me give just a quick one on this peak oil, because I become almost indignant whenever I hear people talk about peak oil.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is such a scam. It is... created, words created that have no meaning whatsoever. For one example, let me give one that I can prove. I know it to be fact. It's written in my book. It's documented. and it has been proven by others. Let me first of all say how it has been proven. Dr. Stan Monteith is a very popular radio talk show host. I've been on his show many times. And Dr. Stan said to me one day, he said, Lindsay, I don't like to have anything on my show unless I can document it and prove it. Can you prove what you're saying about the amount of oil that there is on the North Slope of Alaska? I said, yes, I can. In fact, I said, I will give you the name of one of the only men that was an executive personnel with Atlantic Richfield at the time of the building of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, and he is still on the North Slope now working for BP because BP bought out Atlantic Richfield. And I said, if you would like to have proven what I say, then I would like you to call him. I gave him his phone number, gave him the man's name. He called him on the phone, proved who he was, that he's for real, that he actually does work for BP, is still on the North Slope right now, a week on, a week off, every week. And he said, I'd like to ask you if what Lindsay Williams says in his book, Energy Non-Crisis, is true. And this gentleman said, yes, it is true. He said, the only thing is, Lindsay has underestimated it. There's more oil there than what he says. And so then the question was asked, what about Gull Island? And the gentleman said, I have never been able to understand why they haven't released the oil from Gull Island. He said, we know it's there. And he said, Lindsay knows it's there too, and it's in his book. And he says everything that he says as to the amount of oil that's in Gull Island is true. The next time I was on his program, he said to his listening audience, I have personally called this executive. I proved that he is still there, works for BP now, that he's one of the top people, and that everything that he says in his book is true. So let me tell you how that chapter came about in order to prove without any doubt that this peak oil thing is a total misnomer. When the first edition of my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, came out, it was in 1980, and I had written it from the standpoint of a Baptist minister, which I had been for 30 years. And naturally, there were a few things that just didn't quite, they weren't exactly perfect. They weren't word perfect with the way that a seasoned oil man would put it. And so after the book came out, Atlantic Richfield fired their senior executive at Prudhoe Bay, which was Mr. Ken Fromm. He had developed the entire east side of the Prudhoe Bay oil field. He had built the first refinery at Prudhoe Bay to supply all the fuel for the machinery to build the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline. He was a top man. He knew more about the oil field in Alaska than probably any other human being alive. He had been there at the time of the drilling of the very first well at Prudhoe Bay. In fact, he had been on the first trip that was made to Prudhoe Bay originally when they were deciding to go ahead and drill up there. So this man was a lifetime company man, only had a few years to retirement, and Atlantic Richfield fired him. And he called me on the phone one day. He was so angry, he was almost beside himself. And he said, Lindsay, they found out, or they know, that I allowed you to see most of the things. And he said, we were given permission to show all this to you. He said, nothing was ever held back. But he said, just the mere fact that I allowed you to see all of this, and then you dared to write the book. He said, I've just been fired. And he said, I'm so angry with Atlantic Richfield, I don't know what to do. And he said, I'm only a few years from retirement, and I'm going to lose everything. He said, there are a few things in your book, The Energy Non-Crisis, that are not word perfect. He said, would you allow me to rewrite your book for you? I was appalled. I literally was startled. Ken Fromm and I sat down for about a month and rewrote my first edition of The Energy Non-Crisis. He put everything in oil company vernacular, exactly like it was supposed to be, word perfect from the first page to the last page. And he added two chapters to that book. The first one I wrote, the second one he wrote. The one is entitled Gull Island Will Blow Your Mind. The second one is entitled If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will, and he wrote it personally.
Mm-hmm.
He puts in there the oil that's there, which that field has never been allowed to be produced from until this day. It's the largest oil pool in North America and more than likely the largest pool of oil on the face of the earth. And not one barrel of that oil has ever been allowed to flow down the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline or come to the American people, and Mr. George Bush has got to know that it's there. Well, after the second edition, which is this latest one that we have now, updated and enlarged edition of the Energy Non-Crisis, after it came out, Ken Fromm called me again on the phone one day, and he said, Lindsay, Atlantic Richfield has just hired me back. They decided the only way to keep me quiet was to put me in Houston to train the executive going to Prudhoe Bay. He said they have given me an increase in salary and have guaranteed me a better retirement in a few years when I'm going to retire. And he said, I won't be able to give you any more information, but he said at least we had an opportunity to rewrite your book and make it letter perfect before they did it. This is the way that these people think. Here was an enemy of theirs. Here was a man that they bought. They literally bought him and then put him back on the job. But, of course, he had already said things that they didn't want said by this time. There's no way to stop it. And my book, Energy Non-Crisis, was in print and had gone around the world, so there was no way to do anything about it. Peak oil, don't believe one word of it. There is no such thing. And the governor of Alaska was correct 2 weeks ago when he said, potentially in Alaska, there is enough oil to last America for 200 years. All we need to do is to produce from America's oil fields. But the World Bank, the President of the United States of America, Condoleezza Rice, for whom had an oil tanker named for her, I'm sure you must recognize that Exxon Oil Company named an oil tanker Condoleezza Rice. They changed the name when she became what she is now, Secretary of State, took the name off the side of the boat because they didn't want the average public to know what how involved she is in the whole world oil scene. It is an atrocity what's going on in Washington right now, and they know this. But the only way that the World Bank can make the billions that they're making off the Arab oil world, which has agreed to denominate oil in American dollars and in so doing buy our national debt, which keeps America afloat so that we don't collapse financially. All of this is one great Ponzi game, and they cannot produce the oil from the North Slope of Alaska, because if they did, the Arabs would no longer be there to buy our debt with the billions that we're giving them for their oil so that America's dollar can remain afloat. I mean, do you see the whole scenario here, which is one big game that the super rich and that the power controls of the world play, but the American people are completely left out, and they could care less what you pay for it at the gas pump. In fact, the more you pay, the better they like it. So, yes, they're going to keep us obligated to the Arabs. They do not want us to produce from our own soil. The president puts through a energy bill that is a joke, literal joke. He knows that no oil from Alaska can come out of that Anwar field for the next at least 5 years, maybe 7 years, before they could ever get it over there, and it has no meaning whatsoever.
Okay, so the situation at this point is that we're going to be paying more and more at the pump.
Oh, we're going to pay $3 a gallon at the pump in a very short period of time. When the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, Abdullah, met with President Bush on the 25th, let's see, that was 2 days ago, at his Texas ranch, and afterwards made the statement, Saudi Arabia cannot produce any additional oil, we are at maximum output. That was nothing but a buzzword to the powers that be to give them an excuse to raise the price even further, because now as the demand grows around the world, including China's demand, which is, oh my goodness, it's like a sponge. They're just taking up everything they can take in the world.
Yeah.
And now that this is true, it's only going to do one thing. The Arab world is at peak output. All of the Arab world, they cannot produce anymore. They are at maximum output. Every oil refinery in America is operating at 100% capacity. That means they can't produce another gallon of gas in what they're producing right now. And when the peak grows further and greater, and the gas guzzlers and the new automobiles and all the additional that are driving, now China comes in with all of this. It only means one thing. It means that the price is going to go one way, that's straight up, and it will be $3 a gallon at the gas pump in a very short period of time.
Could it be, in your thought, as time progresses, that we'll be paying by the mile we drive as well?
That I wouldn't guarantee, but there's one thing I think that I can pretty much say prophetically, and many people listening to your program this afternoon will say a year from now that I'm a prophet. No, I'm not. I'm not a prophet at all. I don't have any divine insight into what's going to happen to the oil situation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the people who are doing it, and I know what their intentions are. I heard them talk about it many years ago, and they have fulfilled exactly what they were going to do to a T. Now, since OPEC is at maximum output, not a single refinery has been built in America in over 20 years, and because of the ecology restrictions, there's no way really that one can be produced economically. There's only one place for the price at the gas pump to go, and that's up. So $3 a gallon is a bottom figure. $4 a gallon is more realistic. And if oil goes to $100, $150 a barrel, which they're predicting it will, we're talking $5 and $6 a gallon at the gas pump. So, folks, get ready. It's in the works. The message has already been given by Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Abdullah, that they can produce nothing more than what they're presently producing. They will not allow them to produce from the North Slope of Alaska. Not one drop can get out of Anwar, the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, for at least 5 years, maybe six. They're not going to open up Gull Island. In fact, I had a phone call. I listened on my voicemail. I was out this afternoon, and on my voicemail, an individual who is in the oil business and is trying to get a group of government officials from Washington to go to Alaska and investigate what I've said about Gull Island. And he called me this afternoon and left a message on my voicemail, and he said, Lindsay, I can't get them to touch this subject. He said they're scared to death of it. He said it's almost as if they're afraid to take a trip with you and me to Alaska to investigate Gull Island. Well, they are, because they don't want it opened up.
Now, the point is that, once again, Congressman Hansen was used as an example, I think, to congressmen and senators. Isn't that maybe the reason why they representatives don't want to get involved in this as well?
Oh, yeah. They use Congressman Hansen as an example. These congressmen in Washington shake in their shoes whenever they think of what the government did to him, what IRS did to him. And after it was all over with, after they had destroyed the man, after they had ruined his political career, after they had smeared his name across this country from one side to the other and had put him in prison, then they came back and said, oh, we made a mistake. You really aren't guilty of anything. Sorry, old boy. And sent him on his way. And every congressman in Washington knows that they would do the identical same thing to them if they told the truth and stepped out in the forefront and provided for the American people. The truth of the matter is we have it on our own soil. All we have to do is have some honest government in Washington, D.C., who would allow the American people to get it from their own soil.
Mm-hmm. And certainly that is the dilemma that we have, and that is why hopefully you're getting a lot of publicity all over the country, I hope, with directions.
But you see, we can't produce it from our own soil. America is so in debt right now that somebody in this world must buy our debt. And there's no way that this can be done except for the Arabs to be making their billions so that they can turn around and denominate in American dollars the purchase of this oil. During the Reagan administration, Secretary of State Kissinger went to Saudi Arabia, and there was an agreement signed with the Saudis that all oil sales from that day forward, if the whole world would buy Saudi Arabia's oil, that the dollars, that the oil sales would be denominated in dollars. What do the Saudis turn around and do according to the agreement? They turn around and buy our debt. the American dollar would collapse were it not for the Arab world and their purchase of oil. We cannot possibly supply from the North Slope of Alaska. The government can't afford to let us supply from the North Slope of Alaska, because if we did, then the American dollar would collapse for lack of anyone to buy our debt. I mean, we're in a panic situation, and the average American doesn't even realize it.
There's the point. There's the point. And with this situation that we have in place, we were leaving off last night with Iran, and we have the bases in Iran. We have the situation of democracy. I see here an article by Bill Sammy from Radio Free Europe, dated April 20th, entitled "Iran: Tehran Opposes U.S. Pro-Democracy Democracy Initiatives." And I know you have much to say about this. Two paragraphs I have to cover, and I want you to respond. U.S. interest in Iranian domestic politics has increased recently. The State Department is looking for democratic organizations or activists to support, and Congress is considering legislation relating to Iran. Iranian opposition groups, meanwhile, are soliciting U.S. support. Tehran does not see these developments in a positive light and claims that the United States has always opposed Iranians' democratic efforts. Pursuant to a $3 million congressional appropriation, the U.S. State Department is soliciting proposals from, quote, educational institutions, humanitarian groups, non-governmental organizations, and individuals inside Iran to support the advancement of democracy and human rights, end quote. USA Today reported on 11 April, citing the State Department's Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor. According to USA Today, the U.S. government already spends approximately $15 million per year on Persian language broadcasting in Iran. And there's much more to this article, but Darren, my partner in this, has interviewed you in the past, and he's covered your information about democracy. And he says you give the best dissertation on democracy and your syndrome of control, freedom versus slavery, republic versus democracy. But with this information about Iran, what is your thought here?
My book, Syndrome of Control, approximately one-third of the book is written about Iran. If those in the listening audience would like a detailed, in-depth analysis of why Iran has every right in this world to hate us and not to trust us or to trust anything we say, you'll find it described in detail in my book, Syndrome of Control. It goes all the way back to 1979. In 1979, a militant Islamic mob seized the United States Embassy in Tehran and held 52 American hostages for the next 444 days. President Carter attempted to negotiate the release of the hostages. When this failed, he authorized a military rescue mission launched in April of 1980. It was a disaster. Now, in the midst of that, as you'll find it recorded in my book, Syndrome of Control, Congressman George Hanson, on his own, without any money paid from Congress or any airline fares or anything else, he just decided he was going to go to Iran and solve the problem that was presently existing, which I've just mentioned, in 1979. He did. He went to Iran. After he got there, these 52 American hostages that had been taken from the embassy in Tehran, the Shah said, "I will give you one half of these hostages to take home with you. We really don't want them. It was not our idea to take them." Now, you'll find this recorded. Congressman Hanson dictated it himself, and it was put in my book, Syndrome of Control. Just give you an example of how our foreign policy and why the world hates us so much, in particular in Iran. And so Congressman Hanson called certain people in the Congress here in the United States of America and says, "I have word from the Shah that I can bring home one half of the hostages today. They can be released. I will put them on the airplane with me and bring them home." The person in Congress that he had called said, "I'll call you back within 24 hours. I mean, call back in 24 hours and give you an answer as to whether you're supposed to do it or not. Within 24 hours, he did call back and said, get on the next airplane immediately. You have no right to be over there. You cannot handle foreign policy on behalf of the United States of America, even though you're a congressman in the Congress. You get on the next plane, come home, don't you bring a single hostage with you.
Wow.
You see, there was a reason for this, because Chase and Manhattan Bank had some outstanding indebtedness that they were really in trouble about. And there was going to be a major financial problem for Chase Manhattan Bank if they could not confiscate the funds that the Shah had in their bank. They did not want the hostages released. This all was something that it played right into their hands. And it came out in the end that Chase Manhattan Bank confiscated all of the money that the Shah had in their bank, and in turn were able to cover their rears, so to speak, with the problems that they had financially. In turn, the whole fiasco took place. Carter, as a result, lost. It was really the hammer that drove the nail that defeated Carter in his next presidential coffin, but in election, and it was his coffin, so to speak. But all of this was exactly what Chase Manhattan wanted, and in turn they got the Shah's money. The hostages were not released. Congressman Hansen came home, did not bring them with him. It was all a money game, every single bit of it from beginning to end. And you'll find it described in my book, Syndrome of Control. Now, this is just one example of why Iran doesn't trust us. Then Iran refused to play their little game. And when it was proposed to Iran that they denominate all of their oil sales, which they have tremendous oil output, and it was proposed to Iran that they denominate their oil sales in American dollars, and they said, not on your life. We're not trusting your Americans like Saudi Arabia has trusted you. And in turn, we refuse to do it. From that day until this, America has used every method possible to attempt to destroy Iran. The same thing is true of Iraq. If only Iraq had played the game that the American government wanted them to play and would have denominated their oil sales in American dollars, which they refused to do, Iraq would not be in the public trouble it was in today. But we had to invade them because they wouldn't play the little game like the American foreign policy wanted them to play it. Every bit of this is one big, how do we put it? The American people are not considered in any of this. Every bit of this is a consideration on the part of the wealthy, super wealthy, the super rich, the power controllers of the world.
And weren't they planning long in advance to do this?
Oh, positively. When Iran wouldn't go along with them, they said, okay, basically in a nutshell, I don't know that they use these words, but they in a nutshell said, we'll get you. Iraq was the same way. When Iraq wouldn't go along with them, as Saudi Arabia did, Saudi Arabia bowed to them. Oh, yes, we'll be glad to sign the agreement and denominate in American dollars. When Iran wouldn't do it, they had to invade. They had to destroy it. They had to send in the jackals, killers.
We have a break coming up. Mixer's on the blink again, so the music's not playing, but we're going to be going to break very shortly here in a few seconds, and letting the listeners know to get the books, to get the videos, and certainly a video purchase, you get a free book. 800-321-2900, 800-321-2900, 800-321-2900. That is the number for the ordering of Lindsey Williams' books, free book with the videos, and we'll talk about that when we return and get into this a little further. The situation.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Discover the most important health discovery in 40 years, the goji berry. The world's number one nutritionist, Dr. Earl Mundell, has discovered through his research one of the most powerful anti-aging foods ever discovered, a 2,000-year-old secret from the Himalayas. Under the microscope and backed by scientific research, they say the goji berry could be one of the most nutritionally dense foods on Earth. Come try a delicious, all-natural, 100% juice that comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee. To learn more about the secrets of the goji berry, call 877-888-4777. To learn more about the secrets of the goji berry, give us a call at 877-888-4777. That's 877-888-4777.
Okay, and welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. And certainly I'm Chris Gerner with Lindsay Williams once again. He'll be with us tomorrow. You certainly have a standing invitation to come on every Wednesday from now on. The way I feel about your knowledge, your experience, Syndrome of Control written in 1986, The Energy Non-Crisis written in 1980.
That was the first edition of Energy Non-Crisis, and we have republished many times since then.
I know. So there's a lot of people in this country, if they read the books, quite aware of our situation.
Let me say, Chris, my books, all four of my books, which I would like to give you as a gift, every person listening to this program, I would beg you to allow me to give them to you as a gift. They are full-length books, over 200 pages. These are not pamphlets. They are in full-color covers, very well, beautifully done. And any time that you purchase one of my videotapes, I will give you one of my books. That means if you purchased all four of my videotapes, I would give you, as a gift, over $35 worth of books. My latest book, You Can Live, is 263 pages. It is a library-sized book, not a small book, a large book, and full-color cover. Again, my videotapes, number one is The Energy Non-Crisis, and I would beg you to allow me to give you much of the information in that, where we just don't even have the time on a program to cover it. My second videotape is entitled Vaccinations, because this likewise is also a part of the total world control situation. And if only the vaccination subject were touched, we would probably have two or three programs just on that alone. My third videotape is entitled Deadly New Diseases, because I have written two books on alternative health. And the new microbial mutations and the new, I call them plagues, that are out there now that cannot be touched by modern-day drugs. Unless somehow you know how to build that immune system, the public is in terrible trouble. And so I give all of the answers here that I possibly can on a one-hour videotape with a number of doctors who team up with me to produce these videotapes. And then my latest, or my last other fourth videotape, entitled Torn from the Land, which is the story of what's happening to the American family farmer. This videotape has quite a story behind it, in that a national studio from Hollywood came to me one day and said, Lindsay, we have a farming background. We want to tell the story of what's happening to the family farm and the American farmer, but we can't do it, because if we did, and distributed it, we would lose too much business from the big movie producers that we produce movies for. But they said, we'll take our professional teams across America, interview farmers, tell the story, write our own musical score. And they said, we'd like to bring you the master, put it in your hands, and give it to you. And they said, the only thing we ask of you is don't ever tell who produced it for you. They wrote, they have done a truly Hollywood-style, professionally done 1 hour and about 5 minute videotape with their own musical score, and I did some narration for them. And this is the story torn from the land. A man called me the other day and he said, I've just finished watching this for the third time. He said, I'm sitting here weeping. I just want to thank you for producing it. Now, with every videotape that you purchase, I'd like to give you as a gift one of my full-length books, The Energy Non-Crisis, or my second book, To Seduce a Nation, or the book that we're dealing with tonight, which has about one-third of it dealing with Iran. And I want to get back on the subject of Iran in a moment because it's so important to realize what's happening in Iraq and in Iran right now. And then my fourth book, the big one, the large one, entitled You Can Live on Alternative Help. Just dial 800. This is all you need, a toll-free number, 800-321-2900, and the operators will be glad to assist you in this. You can use your credit card or whatever you would like, and I will give you a book with every videotape that you purchase.
That's very, very wonderful, and indeed, we need to learn from you and your experience. You've been at this many years. This is the point. You're seeing things over the years that you can predict from the past that came about and happened, I'm sure.
Yes. During the first administration of the Bush family, that's Bush Sr., President Bush and his administration contacted both Iran and Iraq and proposed to them that we would work out a deal whereby if they would denominate oil sales in American dollars, that we'd be more than happy to make a deal with them. There was no reason for Saddam to be deposed. None whatsoever. There are many people in the world who are leaders that are pathological tyrants that are just as bloodthirsty as Saddam ever was. But Saddam would not go along with them. He said, no, I will not tolerate you saying that I must do such, I must sign this for you, I must denominate in American dollars, and Saddam wouldn't go along with them. As a result, his country was invaded. I mean, it's just this simple. We have lost 1,531 soldiers over there. Every bit of this is because Saddam would not play their game. And as a result, Iraq had to be invaded, and it's to the tune of American soldiers' lives. I was just reading the other day something that was stated by a major general, Smedley Butler. It was a man that MacArthur said one time of him when someone said, General MacArthur, you are like Smedley Butler is like you. He said, no. He said, General Smedley Butler is one of the greatest generals we ever had. I would like to be like him. And Smedley Butler, Major General Smedley Butler, wrote the following, just a sentence here. War is a racket. It always has been.
Yeah.
It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives.
Mm.
Only a small inside group knows what it is about. It is conducted for the benefit of the very few, at the expense of the very many. Out of war, few people make huge fortunes. Now, this is the story of Saddam Hussein, and that the American people don't know this. They don't have the slightest idea why we're over there fighting that war. Saddam would not play their game. He would not denominate his oil sales in American dollars. He had to be destroyed. So the jackals stepped in, and we've lost soldiers. The same thing is happening in Iran. Iran will not play the game that the American foreign policy wanted them to play. As a result, they're going to smear them in every media in America. They're going to do everything they can to cause them problems. They're going to say that they have the nuclear bomb. Well, maybe they do.
Yeah.
And maybe rightfully so, in order to protect themselves from the tyrant that's been attempting to destroy their country.
Absolutely, we do.
So, yeah, I mean,
can we be responsible
let's be realistic.
Weapons of mass destruction as a
sure.
country?
Let's be realistic about this thing.
Yes.
So, Chris, that's the story. These countries would not play our game, and as a result, we're out to destroy them.
Now, war is a business, as you say. Are you aware of the Congressional Medal of Honor being what it is?
Well, go ahead. I'll be glad to let you handle this.
It's an upside-down five-pointed star.
Yes.
Which is a Luciferian symbol.
Yes.
Isn't that telling people that are awarded for the highest medal of valor in our country that they're suckers?
Well, Skull and Bones says that also, which both of the Bushes are a member of. And on we could go with secret societies, but I'd prefer to stick with the subject of oil, which I guarantee you that I know what I'm talking about.
Well, and here we see from the Sierra Club, the United States, and this is dated April 22nd, excellent research by Dennis. The United States and Canada are so badly addicted to fossil fuels that the Sierra Club of Canada is launching a new intervention on Earth Day 2005 to help them kick the habit. The Mackenzie Wild Project says that North Americans, this is a quote, should just say no to their fossil fuel addiction, especially tar sands oil, its most dangerous form, end quote, says Elizabeth May, executive director of Sierra Club of Canada. They say, quote, tar sands oil is too conventional oil. What crack cocaine is to ordinary cocaine powder. More harm to global climate through increased greenhouse gas emissions, more destruction of boreal forest, more toxic tailings, and more air and water pollution, end quote, she said. And there's more to this, much more to this, but the scenario of the Sierra Club, the scenario of the environmental movement, Agenda 21 ultimately wants us out of our automobiles. So here you see this direction is being propagandized, and we're all almost going to be feeling guilty filling up our vehicles soon.
And all of this is a great guilt trip that they're putting the American people and the world on. Peak oil is another guilt trip, or another trip that is totally false. The American people are not being told one fraction of why we are in Iraq. They aren't being told the truth about Iran. There's so many undercurrents and underlying situations in this whole scenario of oil. It's appalling to me how they can get by with their continued lies day after day after day.
Yeah.
And the American dollar is in jeopardy. We're in big trouble. I personally expect the American dollar to crash at some point because they can only hold this thing up just so long.
I'm told through various sources, I don't know how reliable they are, but we're to expect some kind of a dramatic change in the dollar in June. I don't know what to say about that.
I have not heard about that.
Hasn't it? The dollar's been artificially propped up for years anyway, right?
Oh, positively.
Now,
of course, with the euro taking the place it is.
Now, here we have the Costco ports lining the east and west coast of this country, the Gulf of Mexico, Costco ports everywhere, products made in communist China on our shelves, sea crate containers coming to this country uninspected mostly. China is allied with Iran, and the Soviet Union is allied with China, always have been, in my opinion. What is a scenario coming in the future that could ultimately bring us to what, do you think?
There are many scenarios that could be, as the old adage goes, the straw that broke the camel's back. We are so on the edge and on the verge and running in such a dangerous position in this country, not only with the value of the dollar, with crude oil, with the lies that have been told, with the lives that have been lost in Iraq, 1,530 of them now, Everything is running so on the cutting edge. There are many things that could topple and bring down the camel, that straw, and some of them you've just mentioned. They very easily could do it, and it could happen any time because we're such on the cutting edge.
And with this thought in place, I don't know. You know, I'm just speechless at the deception that's being driven and directed, and the ignorance out there to what's going on. Now the high price of gasoline is going to further devastate our economy, further devastate livelihoods. Where's it going to end? That's the point. It's not, is it?
No, it'll end with...
Worse.
Go ahead.
It's going to continue to get worse, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely will end with a collapse of either the dollar, our financial situation in America, the stolen Social Security, the stolen billions and billions of dollars out of Social Security, and now they come around and say it's going to collapse. Well, they collapsed it. And now they want to give a cure. You see, they create a problem by stealing all of this. Then they want to turn around and give a solution, and the solution is at the expense of the younger generation who someday hope to retire on Social Security. You see, there's so many things that could collapse this right now. And I'm just looking at a note here that I jotted down. Arabs right now are making 5 times more profit on oil today than they did when Bill Clinton was president.
Wow.
It cost them 30 cents a barrel to get the oil out of the ground in Saudi Arabia. It cost them $3 a barrel to get the oil out of the ground on the North Slope of Alaska. Now, I did not say transfer it to the refinery and all the other things that are involved, but that's what it costs to actually get it out of the ground. Now, why are we paying so much at the gas pump? It isn't costing them one penny more today than it did during the administration of the first President Bush.
And isn't this an amazing thought? What is the point of this?
The point is a control factor. Control of the economy, control of the people, control of how far we drive, control of every area. And they're literally groping also for some answers as to the fact that some of these Arab countries now, such as Iraq, Iran, of course, which we've already gone in and taken over, Iraq, that is, and then Iran, and some of the others are saying, okay, we've had enough of this. We're going to denominate in euros, and when Japan and a few other countries decide that the American dollar is to be scuttled, no one to buy our debt, then this is a collapse of our financial system.
Do you see any directions that you recommend people do at this point?
Oh, positively. Actions need to be taken instantaneously. I mean, not tomorrow, today. For every American needs to do some things. Preparations must be made, and I'm so glad you asked the question, what? First of all, no American will be able to afford to drive back and forth to work every day 1, 2, and 3 hours, especially those who live in the suburbs and have to drive round trip 2 and 3 hours every day. They can't possibly afford this when the price goes to $3 and $4 per gallon. Now, the price is going to go up. But you go to your boss and say, oh, I can't stand this anymore. The price of to fill up that tank went from $40 to $80 this week. He's going to laugh at you whenever you ask for a raise in order to take care of the price to drive back and forth through the job. You can't do it. Every person needs to get into a home-based business immediately without any delay whatsoever. Now, every person who calls and gets my videotape and allows me to give you my books, I would like to include in that package, whenever I send it to you, an audio tape. It's going to be a gift. It doesn't cost you anything. It's an hour and a half long. And it could save your family and save your life. This audio tape is a must. You must get into a home-based business and quit paying the price at the gas pump as soon as possible in order to spare yourself financially. There needs to be some definite preparations made on the part of every family. In light of the fact that we are on the verge of a possible financial collapse of the dollar.
Is this audio tape entitled Turning Back the Clock?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And so a home-based business is, yeah, some people can and some people can't. What about those that can't?
Any person who has a computer, access to one, has the capability of building a home-based business these days.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure you have a lot of friends that you could sell a product to, but you aren't going to be able to drive back and forth 1, 2, and 3 hours to work every week with what's in store.
And that's the unfortunate scenario that we have today, that we've been developing into, the whole reason why I've been on the air for 9 years, to try and wake up our country to the deception that's being driven at us and on us. Are we moving into World War III?
I am very concerned about what will happen if we decide to take Iran on. North Korea is standing poised. We understand that they already have missiles capable of reaching California. They do have a nuclear warhead.
Allied with Communist China.
Yes. And Communist China. Napoleon said many, many years ago, he said, China is a sleeping giant. Let her sleep. If she ever wakes up, woe be unto the world. Now, Napoleon was one of the great generals, no matter whether we agree with what he did or not.
Right.
He had some insight in what was happening. Communist China, China has awakened. The giant is no longer asleep. And once this thing gathers more momentum, half of the population of the world is in China. The average American doesn't realize just how precarious a situation we're sitting on with the giant of this world awakening. And now that they're going to consume guzzling amounts of crude oil and are demanding from every source that they get it instead of America and other countries, we have some very unusual things on the horizon.
Communist China the thought of this situation with infrastructure privatization, an executive order put out by the first Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, in 1992 during the Rodney King's riots, was executive order 12803, executive order 12803, infrastructure privatization, which allows anyone that with the money to buy up portions of this country, including water facility plants, sewage treatment plants, bridges, tunnels. It's an executive order that was very ominous. Could China could they be buying up parts of our country right now?
Oh, they could, and they could be doing it under the guise of many different sources,
right,
from different places,
different names, like Costco has done with their control of the Panama Canal.
Speaking of ways that they do things, I mentioned last night a videotape that I produced only 2 weeks ago. It's an hour and 7 minutes long. I came to know a man who at one time was one of the individuals that helped to formulate the enslavement of many nations of the world on the part of the CIA and others. This man was willing to tell me certain things. I had an interview with him. It was with his permission tape recorded. I have produced a 1 hour and 7 minute video tape telling how the people do what they do. How do they go about formulating the methodology of enslaving such people as Saudi Arabia and others to the American dollar, and how many of the countries do what they do and rebel against it, and what their plan is. It is very intricate and in-depth. A person who would like to know what trust they use, what names they use, what banks they use, how they go about it, told by one of the men himself who helped to formulate all of this. This videotape is also available, entitled Economic Hitman.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been awful busy at trying to help wake up our country, and you've been doing this for many years. This is the reason for bringing you on. Your experience, your knowledge, and your dissertation of freedom and democracy, or republic versus democracy, is very ominous. because we hear the word democracy so much today.
Yes, we are not a democracy. We never have been. Now, we have been made to be one, but we were never intended to be one. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the United States of America says, Congress shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government. It does. I'm not talking about a Republican Party either. I'm speaking of a republic, and there is as much difference in night and day between a republic and a democracy. In a republic, in a nutshell, it's we the people. This is what we were given. And when we stand and pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, we say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the democracy for which it stands, not on your life, to the republic for which it stands. And if people would only read the chapter in my book, To Seduce a Nation, in which I go back and give the difference between a republic and a democracy as it is described in the writings of some of our founding fathers, and they said that a democracy would never work. And intentionally, our government officials have changed us from a republic to a democracy, and they continually use that word democracy.
Right.
And when they said that they were going to make Iraq a democracy, that's exactly what they meant, which is slavery. And if we would only listen to their buzzwords, we would know what their intentions are.
Now, in Iraq, they're opening up businesses. People are giving opportunity to set up businesses. But what's happening is they're getting loans to set up their businesses, and these loans are going to have interest rates that are going to have to be paid off. And there's where the slavery comes in, correct?
Exactly. And in America, they've done the identical same thing. They say, we are a democracy. They know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And what they're saying is true. We're going to make slaves out of you. In a democracy, it's we the sheeple. In a republic, it is we the people.
Well
and
stated.
A vast difference.
We're out of time. Tomorrow you'll be with me again, and we're going to continue with these directions. Very important. The order number, once again, 800-321-2900. 800-321-2900. Lindsey Williams has been at this for many years. He has connected dots that, the major media people will not cover because they're controlled and manipulated. They have no choice but to do this the other way and promote democracy, otherwise they lose their jobs. And I look forward to tomorrow night, Lindsey. Thank you
so much, Chris. Keep up the wonderful job that you're doing.
Well, thank you, and it's a privilege to be with you. I look forward to tomorrow night.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night, sir. And listeners, look forward to tomorrow night. Do your research. Go to the website, Dennis's Research, and learn about Universitas 21, a network for international higher education.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15.